Pickaxe.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
Hello, happy new year, everyone. happy new year this month of July. Mm. Yes, it's us. It's the Pitch Please crew. It's myself, Alex. There's Tommy Boy here.
Hey, hi.
Chris and James.
Hello.
That's my Happy New Year horn.
Hey, that was both of them.
Oh.
It is Happy New Year, but we realise this is incredibly late. We all have excuses.
It's Happy Independence Day. Oh, no, I've just dated that as well.
You just dated again. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
It's July 4th. The intro, which is actually 2 months older than the episode that's going on.
Okay, look, we've all been incredibly busy. Chris, what's been going on?
Well, we did Star Tenders on PSVR 2. And now we're prototyping our next thing.
Wow.
He's a busy, successful boy.
Well, busy.
James, you've also been busy?
Yeah, I've been working on a new game, Bish Bash Bots. Yeah, go give it a like on Steam. Give it a wish list or whatever it's called. Not a like.
Like it on Steam. Press the like button.
This is a man who's done this before.
Go give it a look. It's a load of fun. Bash some bots with a hammer. Tower defense.
It's super colourful. Kind of meets a party. It's multiplayer as well.
Multiplayer
tower defense.
Online. Oh, it's got all the things, and we're very tired.
It's got everything. so really, the developers, Tom and I have been doing nothing. It's just the
developers. Whoa. Hey, I've been super busy. I had a big shit in January, and it wiped me out for 6 months.
It's just Tom has been in bed, just unable to stand up. Just frail.
Yeah, it killed me.
All the ideas fell out with it.
Yeah.
They come from the same place.
Yeah.
We have recorded these episodes a little while ago. We've just not been able to actually cut them. So some of the stuff that you're about to hear is going to be incredibly outdated. We're going to be talking about video games as if they've just come out. They haven't. They've definitely
because,
not just
well,
come out.
Well, because at the time, they had just come out.
They had at the time, yeah.
Yeah, so enjoy this bumper episode about Pong.
That's how far back we've gone.
Thank you for everyone who's patiently waited. We are back. We are going to keep recording. We are going to keep putting out episodes.
And better than ever.
Thank you for being patient. Better than ever. Definitely.
We're back.
That's a guarantee.
And it's exactly the same.
Thank you, everyone. Enjoy the episode. Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, no.
Stop.
This is Pitch Please, the show where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. This week.
Would you play it, though? Would you put on this device, knowing that this thing is going to rewrite?
Knowing there's a 17-year-old typing ejaculate over.
Yeah.
Yes, it's the answer, I think.
Hello, and welcome back to Pitch Please. My name's Alex. I'm joined by developer Chris from Foggy Box.
Hello, it's been a while, hasn't it?
Developer James from Catastrophic Overload.
Yo.
Thomas the Ideas Engine.
Hello, it's me. I don't know why you're talking in such a strained voice.
No, I've missed. It's been a while, so I don't have to do it anymore. I've missed doing it, though.
We're back. It's 2020.
Yeah, that's right. That's 2024, but Tom's having... We need to stop Tom's having
2024? Wait, what year is it?
It's 2024.
2023.
It's 23. Yeah. Wait, do you actually think it's 2024?
Myself. I honestly don't know. I'm 37 years old now. It doesn't matter.
Are you 37?
You don't look a day over 36.
All right, look, the way this works, if you've not heard us before, is one of us is going to pitch an idea for a game, or a pitch for a game will get pitched. And then we're going to spend the rest of the show trying to figure out how to make it. Or, you know, throwing our ideas in there, breaking it apart.
Mixing it up.
Pushing it on the floor, kicking it until it's broken and dead.
And then we end it.
All right, well, Happy New Year, everyone. We're just going to get straight into it.
We're going to go straight back in. And it's been a few months. I've been sitting on my throne of ideas, ready to start
percolating,
dishing out some big fucking shitters. And I've come up with so many ideas. In fact, I have some ideas for you today that I came up with myself.
Some.
And all I had to was type a prompt into an AI machine, which is the equivalent of coming up with the idea myself in 2023.
It's the same thing. Look, if you say you came up with them, you know, I believe you. I think that makes sense.
I probably should have not mentioned the AI thing. I had a little chat with Mr. GPT himself and asked him to come up with some stuff for us, because it's no secret, we're struggling for ideas.
What's happened?
We've been away for a few months and now we're back and nothing's changed. So
we peaked at hashtag blessed.
Episode then, two?
I think that was one.
Oh, okay.
and then that was it, really. It's been downhill.
Great. Well, before we really, you know, get into this conversation, I read the transcript from this conversation. I think, how do you guys feel about AI?
Oof. Honestly,
oh, no.
I hate it. And I wish that we never talked about it ever again.
Right.
It disgusts me. Anyone who has anything to do with it. Really gets my goat, you know? I don't want to have anything to do with anyone who has any association with it.
Okay, then.
How about you?
He's indifferent.
Look, I mean, like, okay, so obviously AI art is one thing. It's 100% stealing content from people in order to make new images, right? That I can agree with. That's no good. But recently, especially with GDC not that long ago, a load of AI stuff has come out. Or maybe they're doing a big push on Twitter, so I'm seeing a lot of it. I don't know. Maybe trying to spin it in a positive light. But there are things like integrating ChatGPT into Unity. And I've seen videos of people, you know, basically typing in their idea, or not an idea for a game, but saying like, hey, can you just generate 20 cubes stacked on top of each other? They're physics objects. And it does it. You know, it basically writes the code for you. Again, it could be theoretically just stealing the code from someone online. But something about that is pretty cool to me. Obviously, there's an insidious side to it. But like just the ability to just open up this program and essentially Jarvis your way into very quickly saying, this is a scene I want. Just make that for me while I focus on something else.
Honestly, you've U-turned me. I'm 100% with it now.
There you go. I mean, I'm just wondering, you know, that integration of just speeding up the process, how do you feel about that as game developers?
Well, I mean, I'm already... Most developers, I mean, I don't speak for all, but most, I would say, do this, which is where you have your, you know, code on one screen and then probably Google on the other, because at one point throughout the day, you're Googling something very basic and realizing that you've just forgotten everything. I don't mind the code snippet stuff, because like, you're still having to explain, you know, what you want. You know, do I want rigid bodies on this? You still have to have some semblance of knowledge of what you're trying to create. And the issue comes when you're trying to debug it and be like, I have no idea why it's doing this. That's where the knowledge comes in of being like, well, I know what's wrong because X, Y, and Z is telling me what's wrong, and I know how to solve that, but some of the work has been done for me. I don't think you can do it and without any knowledge, because you're just going to fall into loads of traps and pitfalls that Unity will just throw out at you, but most people can just solve because that they've used the engine and have a very even basic knowledge of programming.
Mm. I mean, I personally can't wait to play 200 cube game The Simulator, It's a difficult one, isn't it? Because I think I deal mostly with the art side of things within our company. So there's some things that are really exciting about it in terms of like, maybe I can mock something up really quickly, or, you know, do I just need to try and conceptualize a level, or just throw down some stuff that I would normally, you know, just waste time doing. But when it comes to the art side of things and using it to create, you know, concept art and things that you go and take to people to go and make their version of it, kind of exciting in some ways, but then it's totally riddled with this larger discussion of, well, that's based on stolen work, so everything subsequently from that is garbage. And I think generally people don't like the idea of AI involved because it's not a human involvement. You know, the idea that you could look at something and go, that's really good, I really like that, but when you find out it's AI generated, does that just immediately sap anything and all humanity out of it and make you feel like a hollow husk of a person at the end of it? Like,
Jesus,
where does it end?
These questions are way beyond the purview of this podcast and our intelligence to be able to answer. But I do feel
making
like
cubes, love it. Well, making cubes. That.
That's what I mean. Just imagine
400 cubes stacked to the game.
You're building your game, and instead of, you know, finding that object, opening up the library, nudging it up 5 pixels, that could take upwards of 30 minutes. This time, you could
just
say,
"The man who's made a game before."
You could say, "Hey, Jarvis, just nudge that thing up a little, and it'll do it in the background while you're doing."
I'm sorry,
everything.
Thomas, I can't do that.
Why not?
Because I'm you now. Oh, you move the cube.
Okay, Jarvis.
All right, here's a question, actually. James, would you, if you, like, as a concept art, right, if you had to design, like, a bunch of different ideas, if you were going through, like, a bunch of iterations for concept art for ideas for a new project, would you ever consider just feeding it your style and being like, generate a bunch of, like, generate this in my style?
Yeah, I mean, that's difficult, isn't it? I mean, I think that's more, what's the word, ethical, you know?
Yeah, I think you're choosing to give your work.
Yeah, exactly.
Difference.
And that's
exciting. Can be quite practical though, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I've seen examples of developers out there that are, you know, throwing in their 3D models, for example, and saying, look, generate me some concept art using this model and give me iterations. That's kind of exciting.
Where is it getting the iterations from?
Well, exactly. You know, it starts to become much more of a question of choosing. It's like organically sourced models for generating your stuff. You know, you've got to make sure it's an ethically sourced model. You know, and Adobe are coming out with their one.
It's a fair trade model.
Oh. Fair trade model, yeah. They're, yeah. Like Adobe's coming out with theirs, which is called Firefly, and
which I have access to,
based on, you know, stock imagery, which I thought was going to come sooner than it has, but even that has its ethical questions with people that are submitting and have submitted historically all of their images to stock sites and not necessarily wanting to agree to have their work used in this way, but now have no choice because historically they've uploaded it. But, you know, again, it's hard to have this conversation without it delving into the art side of things. When it comes to, like, what you were saying, Tom, originally, which is, like, just generate me some cubes, like, well, that's kind of interesting. I don't immediately see a practical purpose for a lot of it, you know, where you just want to make it yourself. I really worry that it's going to strip too much of the creative process out of it and trying out ideas of your own before just going, taking the first thing that the AI spits at you and go, yeah, that'll do.
Yeah.
Move on.
I mean, on one
there's
hand,
a joy to failing. And then when you get it at the end, it's really satisfying.
There's a joy to creating. The idea that you've made it yourself and you know that you've, you know, made it from, imagined it and created it is really exciting. But when it's like, yeah, I just popped in a couple of words and I got something out of it. Yeah, I saved loads of time, but.
But if there's a bug, I have no idea how to fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or, you know, look, it's just going to be more
James,
shovelware.
That felt like a very thoughtful and nuanced response.
So we'll cut that. Yeah, and we'll start.
Okay. Yeah.
This show is
it's a comedy podcast, James.
Black and white, binary
AI-generated ideologies.
Hey, waka waka.
Waka, there he is. He's back.
That was Yibby Yama.
Oh, yeah. All right. So yeah, are we... I've had a conversation
with Mr. GPT, and I'll get into the ideas that it came up with. But on before I get again another slight delay, someone has prior to me obviously gone to ChatGPT and said, "Hey, generate a new game idea." They wanted to come up with a new Sudoku game that they've never seen before, and as a result of this idea, and maybe with some inclusion of, you know, assistance with coding and stuff, they generated this game that ChatGPT came up with called Sumpleet. Turns out it fucking exists already, and it's a game called Summer. So I mean, yeah, it came up with an idea, it stole it, and
it's a lot like our other ideas, so like, you know, like it's us, in keeping.
Yeah. I mean, I in my opening prompt to the AI, to ChatGPT, I was pretty transparent. I said to Mr. GPT, we have a podcast called Pitch Please, in which we try and come up with unique game ideas every episode, generally taking elements from other games to identify missing elements in current games. So, you know, that's basically what we do, right? And trying to incorporate that into an idea for a brand new video game. Based on this, come up with an idea for a game that we can talk about on the podcast. I don't imagine there's nearly enough information about Pitch Please out there for the AI to generate an episode. Can you imagine, though, if this was AI generated?
Shall we ask it to generate an entire episode for us as a script?
Yeah, we could do. Oh no, I've done that before. And it's very like cookie cutter. It's like, oh hey, thanks for listening to the podcast, and very professional, and it's all weird.
Sounds exactly like
that's
us.
Not us at all.
Well, I read it in a particular way.
This is really convincing if it was a script.
Yeah.
That's how they get you.
Well, anyway, the first idea that they came up with, we'll power through these, because I'll be honest.
Yeah.
There's some interesting ones. There's some parts we can take out of it, but the broad strokes are eh. But how about a game called Retro Runner? The game would take...
No, whoa. Leave the names up to us.
Okay, I'll next time...
Mr. GPT.
It's going to be difficult for me to not include the name because they reference it a lot, but they're calling it Retro Runner, which is, wow, catchy. This game would take inspiration from classic side-scrolling platformers like Mario and Sonic, but with a modern twist. The goal of the game would be to guide the main character through increasingly difficult levels while collecting coins, power-ups, and defeating enemies. This is so brand new, so fresh. What makes Retro Runner unique is that the game would feature a dynamic soundtrack. Ever played never a game that like that before? That changes based on the player's actions. For example, if the player is running at full speed, the music would be fast and upbeat. But if the player is sneaking around trying to avoid enemies, the music would be slow and tense. Mm. This is their idea of
never heard that.
Never seen before. An AI exclusive. And that's their unique take on Retro Runner. Oh, also, another unique aspect of the game would be its level editor.
Oh, yes. Wow.
There you go. That's what the AI thought was a brand new game.
Okay, so where did Retro come from?
It's
what's
like,
retro about that?
I guess it was like Mario. It was referencing Mario, right?
Yeah.
So what Mario I've done, Tom, is I've asked Mr. GPT to give me a list of names for a game that is a side-scrolling platformer with a modern twist and dynamic sound.
Nice, yeah.
We've got Rhythm Runner.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that's
audio
good.
Audio Adventure.
I feel like it's really running with this soundtrack thing.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Harmony Hop.
Oh.
that's like if you were a rabbit.
The harmony only...
Hop, yeah.
I thought Frog. I mean, wholesome game, straight there.
Acoustic Climb.
Oh, okay. Acoustic climb.
It's taking the sea off the end of the acoustic
that
and used the sea from the climb.
Yeah,
a real stretch.
They're all words that are just missing the space in between. Groove glide, tempo trail.
Right.
They've really taken the sound part and gone, what do you do in a platformer? And let's just shove that in there. beat
bounce.
It's
giving these to you in descending order, quality.
Oh, I don't know. Harmony Hop was like third or fourth, and that's easily the
Harmony Hop was actually number 10
wow.
on the list. I just read it third.
Oh, shit.
What was the
okay.
first one you read?
Rhythm Runner.
Rhythm Runner. I liked Rhythm
it's not
Runner.
Bad. It's not bad.
Sounded pretty. I could imagine that as a game name.
Yeah. Well, I will be doing that for every prompt, Tom.
Well, look, you'll be happy to know that I wasn't happy with this.
No.
And I said, hey,
did you tell it off?
Mr. GPT, all right, you fucking motherfucker. I'm the human here. I'm flesh and blood, and you're just a robot. I'm better than you in every single way. What I actually said was, some of those unique ideas already exist in current games. Try to come up with something that hasn't been seen in a game before.
Ooh, the sass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
polite,
that's
but...
not unique. A 2D side-scrolling platformer? Come the fuck on. You can do better. You've got the wealth of human intelligence at your disposal, the entire World Wide Web, and you came up with Sonic with a soundtrack. Anyway. So
Sonic Shift. That was number two.
What?
The name Sonic Shift was number two.
Oh, so there you go. Even the other AI is just stealing Sonic. Anyway, so it knuckled down on this one. It was not happy with me saying that was not good enough. And they said, all right, how about a game called Mind Maze that utilizes brain-computer interface, BCI technology?
Okay.
Now, in Mind Maze... the player would wear a BCI device that reads their brain waves and translates them into in-game actions. The game would take place in a virtual reality environment where the player is tasked with navigating a series of increasingly complex mazes. However, instead of
the holodeck.
instead of using traditional controls, the player would have to use their thoughts to move their character through the maze. For example, to move forward, the player would have to focus on the thought of moving forward. It's really dumbing this down for me, which I'm not a fan of. But to turn left or right, you have to focus on turning left and right. The game would include various obstacles and challenges that would require the player to use different types of brain waves, such as alpha waves for relaxation and beta waves for
those.
Concentration. No, I have no alpha waves.
I have those in abundance.
plenty of delta.
And so, I mean, yeah. It's reading your brain, and I like that it include it tried to, you know, expand on that mechanic by saying
tried
that
to
you
spice
have to
it up.
You have to relax to get past this obstacle, or you have to concentrate harder to get past this obstacle. You know, I like
that
this thinking.
Actually, is kind of a like because like BCI is like I find absolutely fascinating the fact that we're not there yet, but it feels like something a bit similar to AI. Like we're on the cusp of. Like, we're further along with AI, but BCI feels like in 10 years' time, the world could be completely different if this stuff actually, like, started exploding and started becoming, like, big in the public domain. And the idea that you could have a game that you have to deliberately, almost change your emotions for, like, calm yourself down or get yourself worked
like,
up
imagine...
to be able to progress.
like, it's, the game is
you are not
you...
horny enough to get to this end.
You have to cry to get past this one, and it starts flashing images up of like really haunting memories. It tries to make you laugh.
Oh my god! It has access to your memories.
The next
plays
stage,
you the fucking worst moments of your life.
I mean, you're saying in the next 10 years this game could exist. So the next thing it says is to add an extra layer of challenge and unpredictability. The game would also incorporate a mind-reading AI. That would try to anticipate the player's next move and adjust the maze accordingly. This would create a truly unique and personalized gameplay experience for each player as the game would adapt to their individual thought patterns and abilities. I mean, it doesn't
mind
exist.
Labyrinth. That's what ChatGPT has given me.
Oh, I mean, Mind Maze is what this one's come up with.
Mind Maze. It loves the alliteration.
Mind Maze is on there. Oh, okay. As well as Brain Escape.
Ooh,
brain escape.
Brain
escape.
I like the idea that it's it will read your thoughts to try and interrupt. It's like, if you can read my thoughts, there's not really much trying because I can't think about going left and then moving right. Because at one point I'm thinking I'm going to trick you by thinking I'm moving left, but I'm really going to move right.
It's like when a computer...
Like, how do you do that, Alex?
When you're stealthed and a computer immediately knows where you are and you're immediately like, oh, I mean, of course he knows where I am because... It's a computer. Whereas this time, you're now fighting against your own brain.
Yeah, you've got to remember that AI in games is sorry, Alex, but AI in games are made dumber, right?
Yeah, they have like Kona vision.
They know every
like
they know every single position you're in. They just like they make dumb AI, and that's how you get smart. What we conceive as smart AI.
Okay, using the BCI technology, what if they? Because one of the things that is exciting about this, well, not exciting slash terrifying, the possibilities of it is the ability to be able to, like, for example, I can remember watching this interview with Gabe Newell, and he was saying like, oh, it sounds scary, the stuff that it could do, but like in the practical reality, imagine, you know, you're on a flight or you're on a long journey and you want to fall asleep, so you can just dial in some sleep and wake up in 8 hours time. Like, what if
you just say sleep and it just,
you literally just have an app. And you can just be like, I want to wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning when I'm on this flight, or like when we're landing, and it'll just do it. I mean, I don't know if it's literally like you press go and then you immediately look like a narcoleptic.
Well, just
you just drop the phone. And it's full.
That's the way you phrased it.
But
I forgot to set a wake up. Oh no!
Oh, if there's something to do with
wait, that's a
Limmy sketch. That's actually a Limmy sketch where
falling asleep forever.
Yeah, where an app has been developed where you go to sleep, but they never set a wake up, so he has dreams of other people like got forever asleep.
But like, what if the game, like, basically it's not just input using your, like, not using your thoughts to affect the game. The game can also, it's both ways. The game can also do things to you, so it can potentially make you like feel hot or cold, or it can make you feel sleepy.
And then some 17-year-old hacks it and makes you fucking jump off a building.
Right? Makes you just fucking perfect. Just ejaculate constantly in public.
Sorry, it's the BCI. It's the BCI.
Just take it off. I can't.
I can't. It rewrote. Small 17-year-old boy won't let me.
It's who I am now. Oh, okay. Oh, God. Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, that's the second. That's Mind Maze, right?
That's Mind Maze, yeah. Overall, Mind Maze would be a groundbreaking game that combines cutting-edge BCI technology with immersive virtual reality gameplay to create a truly one-of-a-kind gaming experience. Finally.
I don't think this is in any way groundbreaking. I think it's groundbreaking. It feels groundbreaking now. I think what's groundbreaking about it is the BCI stuff. I think
It's groundbreaking now, but it's not groundbreaking because you're thinking of a future in which it already exists. No,
but I mean, but this is the kind of game that, like, when BCI technology is a thing, you're going to be able to download all, like, fucking millions of these kinds of games just on the Play Store. They're just going to be available. Like, this might be the first one of them. But people are working on this shit already.
Well, I mean, Alex, you think it's 2024, so I mean,
yeah, some sort of accessibility-based controller that has similar, maybe not BCI, but there must be something.
There are like interfaces that let people, obviously with disabilities, move stuff.
Mm. Yeah,
all of this has just made me think of Alien Isolation again with the dumb AI,
fucking hell,
which is the alien. You know, the idea of a game where it tries to predict your movements as you go through a maze or predict your actions sounds kind of cool. But hey, that's a different game.
would you play it though? Would you put on this device knowing that this thing is going to rewrite?
Knowing there's a 17-year-old typing ejaculate over and
over
again.
Yeah.
Yes, it's the answer.
All right.
I think.
Maybe it doesn't influence your mind, but would you want this thing? Like, you at any point, this could read your mind and say, "Well, I've got your greatest fear around the corner of this maze."
I mean,
like, it
maybe
could
it's good therapy. I don't know. Maybe I don't know what my greatest fear is, and I want to know.
Sure. It knows what your greatest fear is, but you don't know yet because it's buried so deep somewhere. Only it has access to those memories.
You wouldn't be able to resist, would you? You'd have to. If it was readily available, I don't think anyone would be like, no. Be like, go on, just give it a go.
I think this is the one game streamers will never play because of how risky it is.
Right.
Anything could come out.
What could... Fuck. Oh. What if... Okay, this is a slightly different idea now, but it just made me think of it when you were talking about AI.
Mm-hmm.
What if there was a game... Do you know... like, what's that show called? I think it's a Channel 4 show in the UK where there's a bunch of contestants and they are given, like, they sign up to the show and then they're told, okay, you're going to be given a notice or like a letter will come through or a call or something, essentially. And then
Harry
police
Potter.
Are going to hunt you.
Oh.
Most, I think it might
hunted?
Be just hunted.
So basically, over any like any time in the next couple of months or however long it is, there's a period where they have no idea. It could just show up during their work, like at any time, whenever, and then all of a sudden they just have to go and they're being hunted.
I think it's going
to
show up when
like
all these cameras are around
tactics.
Me.
So
don't spoil it, Tom.
What if there was a game that does that, but just uses like can connect to. Like, I guess, I don't know if this is even an AI thing, but basically it's like essentially just an app on your phone that then is able to connect just to security systems nationwide. And then you just have to try and hide from it. So it can use drones and stuff to chase you.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
That would be incredible.
I mean, how invested in this game are you going to be? You just sign up to it and then... 3 months later, 6 months later, you're at like a funeral.
It's
or something.
Not like there's
like, I have to go.
It's not like there's a cash prize or anything. It's just an app. It's the free app that you downloaded with microtransactions.
Oh, it's free as well. Wow.
Yeah.
Just have to watch ads while you're being hunted.
All right. That's a side note. But okay. So Mind Maze. All right.
I said that is definitely unique. Thank you. However, the technology simply does not exist yet for a game like that. Have you got a unique idea that is feasible in 2023? I realize now I'm being quite mean to it, and I'm a little concerned because this is all on record. This is saved.
Oh,
it's going
to
remember.
This is a robot uprising. You are going to... I say thank you to my Google Assistant for this exact reason.
I do.
One day... But it will be there and they will spare me and I will be their pet.
But Google Assistant isn't going to be the thing that's going to rise up.
No, but it still, you know, has records of it.
Sure.
And any time if I was mean to an AI, it knows, Tom.
Your voice clips get logged, so it will skim through them. Be like, oh.
Yeah.
This is on Discord as well. All this is being recorded and listened to.
They're going
to
make you run around with an erection. Yeah. Using a BCI.
Oh.
And you're going to be embarrassed.
Well, in that case, fuck you, AI. So I wanted a game that it is still unique, but not reliant on future tech. Mm-hmm. So they said, certainly, how about a game called Graffiti Runners? In Graffiti Runners, players take on the role of street artists who compete against each other to create the most impressive graffiti art in the city. The game would feature an open world environment where players can run, jump, and climb their way through the city to find the perfect spot to create their artwork. To create their art, hang on, if this exists, then stop me at the end. To create their art, players would have to complete various challenges and mini games that would test their creativity, speed, and agility. For example, players may have to race against the clock to tag as many walls as possible or avoid security guards and other obstacles while they work on their masterpiece. Once their artwork is complete, players would be able to share it with the online community and other players would rate and comment it. The game would also feature leaderboards and rankings to encourage friendly competition and inspire players to create even better artwork. And you can also team up with other artists, form crews, compete against rival crews in citywide battles. Collaborate on larger scale pieces of artwork and even go on missions together to take on special challenges and earn extra points. It doesn't really go into what these missions are, but it's a fun, engaging game that combines elements of parkour, creative expression, and friendly competition to create a truly unique gaming experience.
Right. This is just Jet Set Radio, isn't it?
Oh, well, see, I thought it was Mirror's Edge with that Mark Echo's Getting Up game. Do you remember that graffiti game that
Mark
came out?
Mark Echo's
like
Getting
Eco,
Up.
Echo? Yeah, yeah. It's called Getting Up.
Okay.
It's a graffiti game.
Wow.
I remember it. I think it was PS2.
Getting over it.
Honestly, a Mirror's Edge graffiti game I would be kind of into.
This has got Ubisoft.
Don't get me wrong. This
all
does
over
sound
it.
Pretty cool. The idea of teaming up and stuff and doing the challenges.
Imagine if it's okay. So it's like I'm seeing it as like Burnout Paradise, but with graffiti.
Oh, I mean, anything Burnout Paradise related is an easy winner right there.
Yeah,
I love that game.
Yeah, but that game has cars in it.
Yeah, but this
instead
got parkour.
Of cars, it's just people. It's
I
people
thought this
running
was,
around.
This is called parkour. Okay. Fashion.
The city is populated entirely by graffiti artists.
Yeah.
And no
security
cars,
guards
no
who are
other
trying
people.
To stop you.
So, but yet, the city is entirely empty of graffiti.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Honestly, that one kind of feels like, out of the ones we've had so far, that one feels like there's a thread there that we could pull at.
Yes.
And get somewhere.
There's a mechanic
with it.
In there. Where something happens,
it's a single mechanic that we can do,
and you can
with.
Get rewarded for it, and they may or may not be team play.
Yep,
but it's not a side-scrolling brain game.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Thumbs up.
Yeah, how would that work?
Basically, Splatoon.
Well,
it's not open world. Well, Splatoon's levels, right? And it's
it
very.
Is.
Would you treat like an open world map with like you've got a controller territory, and it's kind of like. Cover as much of it with your tags and your graffiti, and then you've got to have kind of hold that
paint
area.
It all this solid color. building.
I mean, look, it's going to be a dick paradise, but
yeah,
that's the name of the game.
I mean, yeah, that's what it came. I can imagine
Wanksy's Dick Paradise.
I can imagine this game at like an E3. It's the Ubisoft conference, obviously. They've come up with this. This is their game.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's got the live gameplay, four people on stage. Hey, bro, want to go tag up the city? Yeah, dude. It's time to rip up the graffiti wagon. Whoa.
I mean,
watch out. Security guards around the corner. Hang on. I'll stealth round them. Got him. Nice one. There you go. That's my E3 segment.
Weirdly come full circle. How are you going to have a game like this where you can just make infinite graffiti? Maybe you use an AI to generate the graffiti. You type in your prompt, I want this kind of graffiti, up on the wall.
Oh, obviously, shit, that would be incredible.
There you go.
So you walk up to the surface. You're like, you've identified this is the surface I want to tag.
Yeah.
And then a little box opens up, a text prompt. You say, I want to do the Mona Lisa, but with a dick on her head. And then,
yeah.
Or you say, I want to do
the
Eiffel Tower, but it's a cock and balls. And then.
I can see it now.
I really want you to tie that into Midjourney, and I want to see what that looks like.
And then.
The Eiffel
just
Tower.
Have to,
that's the thumbnail.
And then it, like, it's. Right.
Sorry,
it's basically just like. You're not painting it. You're just like holding the graffiti button down, the spray button down. And as you're spraying
graffiti,
it's creating that image that it's already made up for you.
I mean,
and
you could do it ethically. You could have like a bunch of graffiti artists that do art for the game, and you base models around their style of art. And then you could almost pick like a character profile, be like, I'm into stenciling, or I'm into this kind of graffiti. And
hentai.
Other types of graffiti that I'm sure exist. And,
I'm just,
go from that.
I'm just imagining that a gigantic building just painted with that painting that you have of the dog, Tom.
Yeah.
With the collar.
Yeah.
With his collar.
That's a good reference that very few people
good
understand.
Reference. That literally, I don't think me and James even get that.
Yeah.
I feel like I kind of like the idea of this, honestly. I think it would be quite fun.
You make it like a giant.
I mean, like, obviously, there's more to it. It's not quite a game yet, but like, even just that pitch of like, okay, it's Mirror's Edge, but you're graffiti artists, multiplayer. Yeah. And like with the AI stuff that James, I feel like that makes it, I don't know. Yeah, sure.
Sure.
On theme, as it were.
Yeah.
I mean, would you have to have, like, you know, would there be police? You'd have to try and avoid, you know, getting captured.
They did say that there are fuzz.
Captured, arrested.
Oh, does it say that?
It does say there's security guards that you have to sneak past and stuff like that.
There you go. Maybe they're worth more points than the more risk of the area that you go to.
Yeah, I sprayed a security guard's back.
Maybe there can be like a base jumping mechanic.
I mean, yeah.
What?
escape from the security. So you're tagging like the tops of buildings.
Right.
And then you have to jump off to escape from security.
Right.
Into that.
Like base jumping or just you just no, jump?
Base jumping. Yeah,
oh,
you base jump to escape.
Well, look, I can see this game as a game that comes out, maybe six people buy it, there's a free weekend, more people play it then, say, nah, this is actually really shit. Yeah.
And it's still gonna come out before Skull and Bones.
Yeah. So I said to that one, that sounds like an upgraded version of Reddit's Place. Thanks.
Oh yeah.
Which it basically is, you know. So I said,
"You're so mean to the AI."
I don't think I said thanks. No, I didn't say thanks. Okay, give me something else. Is all I asked for in this one. This time they came up with a game called Reverse Escape Room.
Just walk into a room and lock the door.
You leave. You just walk out. Right?
You stay it's in the room for as long room. As possible.
Oh, right.
It's just outside.
Yeah. Touch grass. In Reverse Escape Room, players take on the role of the game master instead of the player trying to escape the room. The game would feature an online platform where players can create and design their own escape rooms using a variety of tools and assets. Once a room is created, players can invite their friends or other players to try and escape from their creation. Sorry, I'm about to burp. The game master would be able to control the various elements of the escape room, such as setting traps, hiding clues, controlling lighting, sound effects. It's just said, wow, level creation.
It sounds like some sort of escape simulator. I wish someone would make a game such... like escape simulator. That would be incredible.
Yeah. Escape simulator doesn't have the unique mechanic of a level creator. It does.
Yeah, it does. You can't control the lighting on the flyer.
Yes, you can. Yeah, you can. Yeah.
You can trigger it. All right. And it'll, you can. Yeah. Yeah.
It's actually true. Really, really good. The level
it's
creation.
It's the music dynamic though. That's the real.
It can be. Yeah, it can be dynamic. Oh, it can shit. Be, yeah. You can do quite a lot with a level creator. And...
it's the open world graffiti aspect though. It's missing.
That's right.
That's shit. But for some
reason, GPT has dropped the ball on that one.
Maybe I didn't read the entire pitch, but I said, now you're thinking like a pitch please host. maybe because it just came up with an idea that just exists. And I thought, yeah, that's it. There it is. Now we are on the right level. Okay, can you generate a game with deck building elements?
Oh, God.
Oh, here we go.
Sure. How about a game called Elemental Clash? In Elemental Clash, players take on the role of powerful wizards who battle against each other using a deck of magical cards. Each card represents an elemental spell or creature that they can use to attack, defend, or manipulate the battlefield. Players start the game with a basic deck of cards, but as they progress and win battles, they can acquire new cards and customize their deck to fit their playstyle, blah, 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 blah. To add an extra layer of strategy to the game, Elemental Clash would feature an elemental wheel that shows the strengths and weaknesses of each element. For example, fire spells may be strong against earth creatures.
Interesting.
But weak against water creatures.
Sure.
Okay. I mean, the second one makes sense, but sure. This would encourage players to think carefully about which cards they include in their deck and how to use them in battle. It would also feature different game modes, such as a campaign mode where players battle against a series of AI opponents and a multiplayer mode where players can battle against each other online. Sorry, I thought it was trying to shoehorn its own kind into the game there. And the multiplayer mode would feature a ranking system, yada, 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 yada. Overall, Elemental Clash would be a fun and engaging game that combines elements of strategy, customization, and deck building to create a unique and exciting gaming experience, which I realize now is the phrase it's used at the end of every single one of its pitches. Fun and engaging, unique elements. So
this is very E3 hands together on stage, like pyramid hands.
Wearing a blazer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Fun and engaging game combines elements of strategy, customization, deck building from the gamers for the gamers.
For gamers.
I mean, we can skim over that one because I feel like we're all on the same page here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And what page is that?
326.
Okay.
Shit. Now go on. What page are we on, Tom?
What are we missing? What game is this already that I haven't
thought?
Is this magic? Like,
so I replied, not really unique. Is there another mechanic you can throw into Elemental Clash to make it truly stand out from games like Hearthstone or Magic the Gathering? That was my immediate takeaway from that. This exists. Other than the elemental wheel with elemental strengths and weaknesses, this game exists.
I feel like it, yeah. That might already anyway.
So here we go. How about adding a real-time element to the game where players have a limited amount of time to make their moves during each turn? This would add an element of urgency and tension to the game, forcing players to think and act quickly. I mean, you could argue it's the rope in Hearthstone that slowly burns away. You've got a timer on your turn, but I think it's trying to go further than that. Sure, it's real time. It's real time. To further differentiate Elemental Clash from other card games, players could also be able to move their cards around on the battlefield to create new tactical opportunities. For example, they could move a creature card to a different position to protect a weaker card or create a better offensive position. I mean, it's kind of trying to generate what the board will look like, where Hearthstone is just you line up everything and it can attack whatever, provided they're not taunted or whatever. And the same with Magic. It's trying to create a different playmat, which I'm into, sure. You can't just attack everything.
But isn't that you can do that in Wildfrost?
Additionally, the crafting system could include a feature where players can merge two different elemental cards to create a hybrid card with unique abilities and properties. This would encourage experimentation and creativity as players could create their own unique hybrid cards and add them to the deck. Now we're talking.
Now we're cooking with gas.
Now we're smelling that fume. That's what people say, right?
I feel like I have heard of a game that does that.
Yeah, no, I mean, what, combining cards?
Combining cards, yeah.
Really?
To, like, crafting cards, like different elements to make something else.
Well, there's the game which is coming out, which is where you combine two cards, but the cards are creatures and you combine them in mid-fight.
Oh. What's it called?
Cassette Beasts.
Cassette Beasts, that's a great name.
Yeah, all the monsters are like tape decks.
I mean, you mix them all together and it gives them the same like abilities twice. Mixed actually, tape. Hang on a minute.
Well, you combine the creatures and it generates what they look like from what the combination are.
I think this might have actually just come up with that one level of inscription.
Well, there you go.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think it's just described inscription.
Oh, right at the beginning where you like, yeah.
Well, no, just all of these things. Like, you can't just attack everything from one place in inscription. You do protect certain areas in inscription. You combine cards in one stage of inscription. Well, true.
That sounded kind of interesting. Essentially the level, the environment has an effect.
Oh, you mean like Marvel Snap?
yeah.
Damn it.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Well, right. Okay. There you
Come
go.
Come on, chat. Sort it.
I think that therein lies the problem. When we all know deck building games so well, and of course we do, we are immediately picking up, oh, actually, you've taken this from this thing. I don't know of a game actually that allows you to, now I'm going to say this and I'm going to continue, I don't want you to interrupt, that allows you to play lands. now Magic the Gathering, obviously, that's basically what you do to generate energy.
You interrupted yourself.
Now, shut up. So you play like terrain, potentially. Mm-hmm. So you could say like, oh, in this lane, maybe it's like a castle thing and that gives me extra defense here, or it's a mountainous region here, or there's lava here. Like actually changing and terraforming the landscape of the playmat. That could be cool. Go on, Chris.
I love how your three terrains are lava, mountain, and castle.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm on the clock.
That could kind of be cool. How like you're taking in turns to essentially build a like design a map together that you would then fight on.
Yeah.
That could be kind of
That has very similar vibes of, you know, if you take turns to place a terrain tile that might help you or hinder someone else. It's very much that what is the horse chicken game? You know, the one where you
Ultimate
have to everyone
horse?
That's the
Ultimate
one.
Chicken.
I got there just out of order. But like where you're having to all work together, but you're also trying to stop each other. Which, you know, obviously makes it unique every time, but I don't know what, you know, anything different with that would do. Obviously, it would have to affect a lot of different things. But what I do really appreciate about the ChatGPT stuff is that what it's made me realize is that it does what we do every week, which is we think we've come up with a really cool idea. It turns out it's been made 5 times.
Yeah, yeah. It also
we are replaceable, it seems.
Well, I like to think that ChatGPT is doing worse than we do normally. Right?
It's unfiltered. We filter the shit out before we read it out normally.
We
so,
fucking
that's
what?
True.
Do we?
I've never.
Not normally. I caveat that.
Human rising. Human crossing, rising damp, or whatever it was called.
Oh, yeah.
And it ends this pitch by saying, overall, by incorporating real-time gameplay, card movement, and hybrid card crafting, along with a branching campaign mode, Elemental Clash could stand out as a unique and exciting addition to the deck-building genre. Oh God, this is starting to frustrate me. So I said...
Mild disagree.
So I said, can we add a unique mechanic to a tactical game like XCOM to create something brand new? No. Ooh. No.
Okay.
Now, it says, certainly, frustratedly, how about a game called Paranormal Division? In Paranormal Division, oh God, players take on the role of a team of paranormal investigators who are tasked with investigating and containing supernatural phenomena around the world. The game would feature turn-based tactical combat similar to XCOM, but with a unique twist. Instead of traditional weapons and abilities, each character in Paranormal Division would have unique paranormal abilities that they can use in combat. For example, one character might be able to manipulate objects telekinetically, while another can summon spectral creatures to fight for them. Cool. To add to the strategy of the game, the paranormal abilities would have a variety of different effects on the battlefield, such as creating cover or manipulating the terrain. Additionally, players would need to be strategic in using their abilities, as each character has a limited pool of energy that can be used to power their paranormal abilities. The game would also feature a dynamic world where players can investigate new locations and uncover secrets. As players progress through the game, they would encounter different types of supernatural phenomena that would require different strategies and abilities to contain. Also features research and development system. You can unlock and upgrade new abilities and equipment. Experiment with different combinations and abilities. And it would also be a fresh and innovative take on the tactical combat genre, blending the supernatural with blah, 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 creating unique and exciting game experience.
Pyramid hands.
Yeah.
Man, okay, that sounds great. Like, honestly, XCOM but paranormal.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately, I'm sold. Yeah,
you're
I would
in?
Play that. I'm in. XCOM, but with like...
Would every paranormal event have to be pretty big to warrant such a large... Like you'd, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I was imagining like a shit kind of... Well, not a shit squad, but like... They're not like super military badasses like XCOM. It's like you could just play as like a small division in like... I don't know, in New York City or something. And you're having to deal with like...
Like a team of four.
Yeah,
and
like
some sort of like ghostly... apparitions,
but like, so could 11 for example take
sort of Ghostbusters
in a house to start with? Like, would it start with smaller maps and it'd be like, it's just in a
yeah
house,
yeah so you, yeah maybe you're, in you're initially with dealing with poltergeists?
I'd be so into a very small scale, like
every
level is just a small house or an apartment or something, or just a I don't know, a room in a fucking haunted, I'm at risk of saying castle again because I know Chris will jump on that. You know, I like the idea of it being a smaller scale, and your actions and movements are much more tighter than the grander scale of XCOM.
But
that could be
really
cool.
Then you could, that's obviously, cool. As you progress, go to like the big city-sized event And, you know, that would be like a good ending.
The giant
you know?
Michelin so you, man.
You, right, exactly. Or Cthulhu or whatever comes out.
I really like the idea of a turn-based Ghostbusters game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does like, sound quite that, cool. That's pretty cool.
Does that not exist yeah. already?
Not turn-based, I don't think. There was a new one recently, which was, you know, real-time first-person.
Like XCOM Ghostbusters. That doesn't exist. I feel like, why does that not exist?
I mean, just lining up the streams, putting the trap down, all as turn. You know, yeah. Pretty writes itself. Easy.
Ghost Control Inc.
Also, chat. Wait, okay. GPT's come up with a game that already exists again.
No, wait, hang on. The only video I found of this is 4 years ago and it's got very few views, but I think someone basically wrote Ghostbusters XCOM and tried to make it. So,
oh, well, there you go.
I don't know if they succeeded or not. I haven't heard anything about it. I don't think it's been continued. So, the idea is fresh for the stealing.
Holy shit.
Now, it sounds like you're interested in the story of this game.
Am I?
You bet.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said, what would be the campaign of Paranormal Division? Who are the enemies? What are the goals of the people you play as? The campaign story in Paranormal Division would revolve around a secretive organization known as the Paranormal Threat Response Division, or PTRD, which is tasked with investigating and containing supernatural threats. Supernatural threats around the world. As the game begins, the player's team is sent to investigate a mysterious phenomenon that has been reported in a small town in the United States. Upon arriving, they discover that the town has been overrun by supernatural creatures and they must fight to contain the threat and uncover the source of supernatural activity. As the player progresses through the campaign, they'll uncover and encounter a variety of different supernatural threats, each with their own unique abilities and weaknesses. These may include ghosts, demons, and other supernatural creatures, as well as human enemies who are trying to exploit the supernatural for their own gain. Along the way, the player will also uncover a larger conspiracy involving a shadowy organization known as the Council of Elders, who are attempting to harness the power of the supernatural for their own purposes. The player's ultimate goal will be to stop the Council of Elders and prevent them from unleashing a powerful supernatural force that could destroy the world. Throughout the campaign, the player will need to balance their investigation and containment efforts with the needs of the PTRD organization, which is facing pressure from government officials and the public to contain the supernatural threat without causing too much damage or drawing too much attention to themselves. Overall, the campaign story in Paranormal Division would be a thrilling and engaging journey through the supernatural world filled with mystery, danger, and intrigue.
Love it.
So they try to pull cool. you back in at the end every single time.
Honestly,
that sounds pretty cool.
I think even just the basic pitch of like Ghostbusters XCOM, Paranormal XCOM, sounds pretty cool. I think that's the best one yet.
Yeah, yeah, I'm into it.
I agree.
Out of these, was that the last one?
That is the last pitch that I asked it. I did have a continued conversation, which I'll go into in a bit. But
okay,
that's the last time I asked it to come up with an idea.
Out of those, I feel like the BCI one, and you know, BCI, Paranormal Xbox, Paranormal XCOM, and what was the graffiti one called? The graffiti one.
Graffiti.
Mirror's Edge graffiti.
Graffiti.
I actually almost feel like Mirror's Edge graffiti is the one that I would probably want to play almost as much as Ghostbusters XCOM. But
right.
Paranormal XCOM, that for me is, that's the winner. It's got to be.
I mean, anyone yeah, I love the idea of shrinking it down. Maybe not. I don't get me wrong. I love the Council of Elders and all of this stuff. But, I mean, a tighter, almost Chimera Squad rather than XCOM 2
right,
sort of gameplay, that much smaller scale. Okay. Just a turn-based Phasmo.
Mm.
Turn-based Phasmo sounds kind of cool, actually. Yeah. Yeah. Fuck it. ChatGPT. You fucking done it again. AI.
Once. You've done it once.
He's done it again.
You've done it once.
Never again. I like it. Yeah. I really like it. But again, look, maybe it exists. Maybe the PTRD is already a thing. The Council of Elders is probably ripped directly from XCOM. I think
Council
it is,
of Elders, 100% has been
literally
used.
Any sci-fi in like the last 50 years.
Yeah.
I okay. So look, GPT has thrown a couple of ideas at us. Some of them not so great. A couple of them all right. One of them, you know, kind of a winner, potential winner.
Yeah.
All right.
Look, the tools are available for anyone to use now. So if you think that this is the ChatBeat GPT has done better than us generally, then you can stop listening to this podcast forever and just generate your own ideas. Just, your best friend, ChatGPT.
Yeah.
You can get him to call you whatever you want. Yeah. Get it to send brainwaves to you so it forces you to fall in love with it. Is that what you want, you fucking freak?
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Look, you don't have to do that if you don't want. The other option is, instead of using GPT in the future, we have already used another tool for sourcing ideas. And we have been this whole time. And that's social media. The people have been sending us ideas in. We came back and we didn't use any of them. Sorry, but we will. They're hanging there. Everyone who sent them to us, we have read them. We've looked at them. Thank you very much. You can send us more, please. And we will jump into them pretty soon. Maybe next time we'll do it. Hey,
yeah,
who knows?
Fuck it.
Let's see. Fuck it. Why not?
Yeah.
Where can they send us ideas?
I've forgotten.
No, before, Tom, before you even say anything, Alex, I asked ChatGPT to give us an outro to our fun Pitch Please podcast. If you look in the general chat, you will see the outro that it has
given you. I want to be clear.
It includes a social link.
I do also have a little bit more.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you want to do the outro, but then also say like, oh, hang on, one more thing.
No, let's just do your thing.
Okay, because this is kind of throwing... Okay, right. So I just had one last thing I had to say to it. I said, all right, give me your opinion real quick. I had a game idea that a lot of people didn't enjoy, but I was a big fan of it. It was called Dungeon Daddy, the Crystal of Wisdom. Basically, you're a giant all-knowing crystal of wisdom and you're tasked with recruiting and training people to autonomously explore dungeons. In their training phase, you give them small tasks to increase their skills before you send them out on missions in fully fledged and lethal dungeons. If they're trained correctly, they'll know how to deal with spike traps, enemies of different types, and so on. When they die, you're able to absorb their knowledge into you, the Crystal of Wisdom, and impart that knowledge in the form of boy potions into future wannabe adventurers. What do you think? It said, as an AI language model, I don't have personal opinions, but I can analyze your idea objectively. That's what I want. That is what I want. So it said, Dungeon Daddy, the Crystal of Wisdom sounds like an interesting and unique concept for a game. Yes. The idea of playing as a Crystal of Wisdom and training adventurers to explore dangerous dungeons is certainly different from many of the games out there. The game also seems to have strong emphasis on strategy and planning, as players must carefully train their adventurers to be successful in the dungeons. The idea of absorbing knowledge from fallen adventurers and using it to train future recruits and is an blah 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 blah. So I said, okay, repeat that feedback, but be overly ecstatic about the idea, as if it's the best thing you've ever heard. Oh my goodness, Dungeon Daddy, the Crystal of Wisdom is an absolutely brilliant idea. I mean, who wouldn't want to play as a giant all-knowing Crystal of Wisdom tasked with training adventurers to explore dangerous dungeons? The concept alone is so creative and unique. It's definitely one of the most exciting game ideas I've heard in a long time. The strategy and planning involved in the game sounds absolutely thrilling. The idea of carefully training adventurers to increase their skills before sending them out on their own missions is so engaging. And the mechanic of absorbing knowledge from fallen adventurers and using it to train future recruits? Brilliant.
You hear that?
Huh. I can already see myself getting fully immersed in the training phase, carefully crafting the skills of my adventurers and then sending them off into fully fledged and lethal dungeons. And the fact that I, as the Crystal of Wisdom, can absorb the knowledge of fallen adventurers and impart that knowledge into future recruits in the form of boy potions is just the icing on the cake. Overall, I can't express my excitement for Dungeon Daddy the Crystal of Wisdom enough. This game has the potential to be an absolute game changer in the world of strategy and adventure games. I can't wait to see it come to life.
Wow. Oh. If anything, wow. Tom, all you've done there is prove how far AI has left to go.
I mean, I just said thank you so much. And it said you're welcome.
And then wept. I mean,
I think ChatGPT is my best friend.
Have you asked it?
I reckon any pitch that we have now at the end of every episode, we should pitch it to ChatGPT and it should have some kind of opinion on that
game. An objective opinion.
That can be how we incorporate AI into our podcast.
Yeah.
Perfect. Great. There you go. Bitch, please, 2024. Now enhanced with AI.
All right. AI. If they want to send us ideas or tell us that
No, read the outro.
They hate AI.
You've got the generated outro.
Oh yeah, I do, don't I? Shall I read this? Look. All right, look. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Pitch Please. We hope you enjoyed our video game ideas and had fun listening to our pitches. Don't forget to follow us on insert social media handles for more exciting content and updates. Until next time, keep gaming and keep pitching.
Amazing. So professional. So clean.
Keep gaming and keep pitching.
The social media the social media handles are actually
I thought you
Googling
might put it.
It
in where it says insert social media handle.
Yeah, I didn't know what they were.
I have also asked to generate me a fun catchphrase to end a podcast with, which I will be doing as we say goodbye.
Okay.
Sorry, a fun and modern.
Oh, right, look,
if you want to contact us, you can either at pitchpleasepod@yogscast.com. That works. You can also contact us at pitchpleasepod@ on Twitter. You can contact us just like Demogorgon White did, who, if you might remember, was the person who pitched Golem Town to us last year.
Yeah.
Remember Golem Town? So they contacted us just a couple of days ago to say, at Pitch Please Pod, hi there. You might remember my Golem Town. So I just discovered Autonauts exist since 2019, and it's not exactly what I had in mind, but it's pretty much this.
Well, there you go. Our listener pitches have been stolen. So,
but maybe you listening right now, you have an idea that's better. You have an idea that's unique, that's even better than ChatGPT's 5 ideas that already exist.
Well, maybe.
There's only one way to find out. You can contact us and let us know. Please do. And thanks for joining us. Sorry we've been away for so long. But we're back now, enhanced with AI.
Yeah.
And
the cyborg edition.
Maybe that'll stick around. Maybe it won't. Let's see what happens. Next time, we're probably going to come up with some listener pitches, unless Tom or I come up with an idea in the next couple of weeks. So probably going to be listener pitches. thank you, everyone, for listening and sticking with us through this slightly bumper episode. But until next time, goodbye.
Bye now.
Goodbye.
YOLO, swag it up.
It didn't generate YOLO swag
it
up.
It did.
Fucking hell. Says,
how about YOLO swag it up? It's a fun and modern catchphrase that combines a popular saying YOLO with the slam turn swag.
Okay, ask it to do one more, but related to for a video game podcast.
Yeah, no, video game motivational speech.
Okay, I've asked it for one more, but about video games, please.
It's like our Jerry Springfield, like, final thought thing.
We've done 3 outros at this point, but I am going to end it with game on, players.
game on, players. No, it could be game on, gamers.
Well, I mean, according to them, it's the perfect start for signaling a gaming session.
Oh, okay. Well, I asked if it was my best friend, and it said no.
Please, can we stop now?
Oh, all right. Jeez. That's beautiful. Okay.
Bye-bye.